You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come to feel what you need when what you really want inside. you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all?
Yeah. The government cares about
they
you.
Ain't giving up a second thought about you. No. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me. You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a rare disease.
Running like a rare disease. Get some people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yeah. You gotta learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well for you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it wasn't, you had to get it done. It must be done. You got it done. And you did it safely. And we appreciate you for that. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, and 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Of course, the shortcut is Baba Oshi, O-S-H-I, Baba, B-A-B-A. OSHI.net. BabaOshi.net. And then bam, there you'll have those programs that you can listen to at your time that is most appropriate. So, other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times. Mondays, this evening from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed. And that's followed by from 8 p.m. to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9 on Saturdays, the Sankofa Elders Council. Sunday at 7 p.m., time for an awakening once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, I went to the website not too long ago. More products and more products. Check out WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. AfricanForTheAfricans.org. Brother Bamani Tahima, who was my guest this past Friday, will be my guest again this Friday because we're going to hopefully clear up a few things or hopefully inform you or hopefully you'll call in and want to be a part of the trips of a lifetime and maybe you want to do some investing or maybe you want to be like me, want to go home, you know. So, brothers and sisters, go to AfricanForTheAfricans.org. Everything on the website that you need is right there. Of course, the trips that are upcoming, November, which is only a few months away, November 18th through the 29th to Tanzania. Then December 24th to January 5th, 2022 to Ghana. and then April 1st to April 11th to Senegal and Gambia, and then May 24th to June 5th, 2022 to Ghana. All trips are $3,700. They're very affordable. Brothers and sisters, go to, and everything you need to make it happen, from all the documents, the visas, information, the shots, and so all of that is right there for you, for Africa, for the Africans.org. I got Baba Rinoco up here because I just want to make sure I always, I'm going to start skipping it pretty soon, unfortunately. Fortunately, I guess one would argue, but, you know, his presentation yesterday by Anthony Browder and his daughter Atlantis was outstanding. Good presenters, good information, and well worth it. And about 100 people were on the call, from based upon what I've seen. So that raised about $3,000, you know, and that's good for his daughter, Asada, who's, I'm not sure, I believe she's still in Paris. She lives in Paris. So there is a service, a viewing in Los Angeles at the end of the month, and then there's a ceremony, and it's private ceremony. So if there's anything else to bring to your attention, I will do so, of course. But once again, the death of Rinoco Rashidi is a shock to many, many people. So Habesha Incorporated.org. Brothers and sisters, Habesha stands for Helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. Habeshaincorporated.org. They are doing the work. They're doing the work here locally, here in Atlanta, with the programs that they have. Habesha Works Program, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and the Urban Green Jobs. And, of course, the Kashi Project that is ongoing and on the continent. The buildings are up. They're doing beautiful work. Go to Habeshaincorporated.org and see for yourself, brothers and sisters. The LEDGE Group. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. The LEDGE Group, brothers and sisters. The LEDGE Group deals in the four areas of human existence, because without it, it doesn't happen. That is food, water, clothing, and shelter. And they have 12 projects in six countries, with over 170 employed and over 260 members. They need more members like you. Go to theledgegroup.com. Theledgegroup.com. I've said this before and I'll say it again. To be a member, it has, well, of course, I always say membership has its privileges. And one of the privileges is to be able to purchase an acre of land in Tanzania for $250. $250. I'm not sure exactly where the land is, but of course, if you are part of the LEDGE Group, you will know. And you know what you have to do, and you know others who are going to do the same thing. I envision that brothers and sisters begin to purchase that land all around, and then bam, they have a community. And they're putting up buildings, they're putting up infrastructure, making it happen. TheLedgeGroup.com. Bibi Atumi. ABIBITUMI.com. BibiAtumi.com. Brothers and sisters, I always promote BibiAtumi.com. They have so much on the website. You should go there. BibiAtumi.com. Make it a favorite. They're always having interesting things. They have, of course, the class. They have the Swahili class, and of course, September 11th, from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern time. You know, that's the advanced class. They have a class going on right now that started this past Sunday, the 22nd, and same thing, 10 a.m. to 12. It's a beginner's class.
have an advanced class, and they're educating our people. And of course, if you listen to this program, you know that I definitely promote us learning a language that we can speak to one another so we can have some kind of cultural privacy. You know, English language is not ours. And as Ozzie Davis said in his beautiful piece, the English language is my enemy. Yes. BBToomey.com is dedicated to the audio and visual aspects of the goal of total liberation. It is a space where creators can use the platform without worrying if their content will be taken down if they deem too black, such as inaccurately currently being done to black YouTubers. Yes. Yeah, they believe that the content is with all that mis and disinformation that is going on. Wadada. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, across the street from the So Vegetarian. Up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, which is open on Friday and Saturday from 1 to 7. Their church services are online. So that's, and I saw Baba Olatunji at the Garvey Day celebration, which was held in a parking lot. Little grass area that they have at the shrine, and it was a nice turnout. Unfortunately, the little downpour that happened, but it was a good turnout and great presentation by Brother F. Keith Slaughter, who used to be on the local radio station here. But he, outstanding brother. Get that brother a call. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia. It's a great space, and she's utilizing it to the fullest. It's beautiful. Check her out in the Greenbrier Mall in the main stretch. If you are looking for books, and give her a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, my good brother Kazimde Ajamu, who has a coffee bar now, sells delicious African coffees and teas and so forth. And, of course, if he doesn't have the book you're looking for, he'll get it. Make sure. Both places sell the red, black, and green shoes. And I believe hopefully they're coming out with the Nat Turner so I can buy another pair of Nat Turners, man. They don't have them my size, you know. And it's been a year. It's been a year. I've been trying to get them. Brothers and sisters, the Black Dot, give them a call at 404-519-8107, 404-519-8107. There is light in the Black Dot. Us Living Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people, every Thursday night, their Thursday night blog broadcast on blogtalkradio.com, blogtalkradio.com/ULU. Us Lifting Us at 9 p.m., 9 p.m. every Thursday from 9 to 10. And this past Thursday, of course, they had Mama Tamu talking about her book, 1148 Lewis Street, A Long Journey. That was, of course, dealing with the...
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
The Republic of New Africa 9. The Republic of New Africa 9. The Republic of New Africa 11. Oh, boy, Oshie, I tell you. The Republic of New Africa 11. And... they were all exonerated eventually, but a few did some serious time, you know. Her husband, she did 10 months, and Baba Kima Kenyama, he did 9 years. But he was facing a life sentence without possibility of parole. The FBI and, of course, the Jackson, Mississippi police, just like the Chicago police and the FBI, vamped on, you know, Brother Hampton in Chicago and shot up their place. They shot up the place where they were sleeping. It was a pre-dawn raid. I tell you. So, Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. Brothers and sisters, if you want to give a call to listen or to give a question or comment, dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. Another promotion is Homeland Village Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. They have everything, believe me. They've utilized that space to the fullest. It's just a nice. If you're in the Macon area, please stop by. They have African soaps, holistic health, beauty products, oils, incense, CDs, DVDs, literature, books, Pan-African fashions, and so much more. That's right, the Homeland Village in Macon, Georgia. Sun Goddess Scents. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. It's inside the International Discount Mall, Booth 225. Brothers and sisters, Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. You should give our good sister, Shelly Amonset, a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Scents, your one-stop natural shop. Gabby Aurelia and the Sanjay-IET.org organization is working hard, and now they have to even work even harder with another earthquake. Definitely there's no money for them, so they rely and support on people like ourselves who are willing to donate, they're willing to make a sacrifice and give to support what they're doing with those children, because the program is education, health care for those children, sustainable agriculture, and entrepreneurship. Go to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I dot org. Sanjay dash Haiti. Akabin Institute. Baba Barudi has a program coming up in September. I don't have it right here in front of me at this time. But brothers and sisters, support the good work that Baba Barudi and Mama Ya are doing. Support that work. You can support it by donating through PayPal or Cash App. Let's say Cash App. The dollar sign, Ya, Y-A-A, the letter M, B-A-R-U-T-I, Barudi. And give your donations and support that work. You check out his books on AkabinHouse.com. AkabinHouse.com. You can get the array of the books that Baba Barudi authors. Yes. Sanjay dash Haiti, huh? I like that. It's a good sister, man. Support her. The Inye Sasin, brothers and sisters of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sasin of Daily Revolutionary Thought. August 22nd. The fact is that black men are addicted to white women, and the results have been some kind of cultural diabetes. The union, temporary or permanent, of the black man and white woman is a source of severe sickness of both parties involved. Because their union means that either they have fallen naively in love or are willing to brave whatever storms as a testimony of their love for one another, or they generally believe that bullshit pitch about America being a democracy with every man having the right for the pursuit of happiness. Or they feel that by marrying into the opposite culture, they can better help things. Or they are completely ignorant of the history of this republic. Sterling Plum. Your loyalty is to the person with whom you sleep. Let me repeat. Your loyalty is to the person with whom you sleep. In fact, that question came up, can you still be a revolutionary if you married to a white woman? If you sleep white, no. I like this. Your loyalty is to whom the person who you sleep. Therefore, if you sleep with the enemy, your loyalty is to the enemy. In other words, if you sleep with the enemy, you are the enemy. It makes no difference what you say, or how profoundly or eloquently you say it. What you have heard and what you have read or think you know, or how capriciously you wear the trinkets or garb. If you are sleeping with the enemy, then you do not know that you are at war, at least not in any meaningful, ancestrally connected, conscious, intelligence, revolutionary, non-treasonous, visionary, sovereignty-seeking, active, African-centered, culture-first sense. If you did, then you would not be sleeping with the enemy. P. period. It's not complicated. Loving Urugu's trash is self-evident proof that you love Urugu. Again, if you sleep with the enemy, you are the enemy. In the same way as it is said that living by the sword will bring you death by the sword. If you sleep with evil, you will die with evil. Affirm, I am not a trash collector. I am not a trash collector. Affirm, I am not a trash collector. Okay. August 23rd. A man thinks when he's alone. Yambo Olagemi. Some assume that there is a self-esteem issue which silence prevails for a person. But they know not the quietude found in thoughtful hearts. The self-esteem of those who honor their silence is safe, hidden from the noisy views of miscreants or saboteurs or far beyond their imaginations. Even those confident, quiet contemplators value and hold dear, who know their pain and peace, can enter only so far beyond before arrested. Introversion is nothing negative. And in varying degrees, introverts are in love with thoughts, with images of a reality they feel compelled to change and the world they need to build on top of it. True introverts are not selfish or antisocial. They consider all. They feel deeper. And this is a great task. Conditions, situations, awareness can dictate not only thinking alone, but when necessary, acting alone as well. Whether a function of having no other warriors in the vicinity or because they are surrounded by cowards, African warriorhood was, is, and always will be measured by individuals' ability to spiritually, psychologically, and socially stand alone in ancestral universal truth and without the approval of others. Warriors can stand alone. Affirm, I make the time to think. Affirm, I make the time to think. Brothers and sisters, the Inye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. Yes, Inye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. There is no other historical incident of a formerly enslaved people who valued integration with their former captors to the point they were completely abandoned the superior wealth of their own homeland. Ezra Home. There is no other historical instance of a formerly enslaved people who valued integration with their former captors to the point they were completely abandoned the superior wealth of their own homeland. Kind of goes along with the brothers who sleep white, who sleep with the enemy, who are the enemy. Yeah. Man, I tell you. Yeah. Sleep white. Let me find my track here. Okay, I found it. I have traveled across the length and breadth of Africa, and I have not seen one person who is a beggar, who is a thief. Such wealth I have seen in this country, such high moral values, people of such caliber, that I did not think we would ever conquer this country unless we break the very backbone of its nation, which is her spiritual and cultural heritage. And therefore, I propose that we replace her old and ancient educational system, her culture. For if the Africans think that all that is foreign and English is good and greater than their own, they will lose their self-esteem, their native culture, and they will become what we want them, a truly dominated nation. Oh, Lord Macaulay's address to the British Parliament February 2nd of 1835. The colonization of Africa. 1835. And so as you can see, it's 50 years from the Berlin Conference of really taking it by the Europeans. Man, I tell you, it just something that will always, always bother me. Kwame Nkrumah, the father of Pan-Africanism. Nah, I wouldn't say that. I mean, all those brothers and sisters who believed that Africa should be united, that Africa should be one. Even deeper, Africa shouldn't have any boundaries that particularly that Europeans have made. Africans shouldn't have all the other superficial things and petty things. If you are a certain African culture group, Ibun, Hausa, Ashanti, whatever, that's great. But what is greater is that you are African and you respect other Africans. It ain't about you. It ain't about being a particular country. It ain't about Nigeria, Ghana, Togo, Benin, Dominican, whatever. It's about Africa being united. It's about Africa being able to trade with other Africans across the continent. It's about Africa building infrastructure to connect everybody on the continent, from railroads to highways to communications, mass communications, internet, all of that. Africa moving into the 21st century, preparing themselves to be a continent where Africans control their land and their resources. Kwame Nkrumah said this when he understood how important it is, because he was the one that he, Dr. Dr. Jop, his book, Federation, which I have and read a number of times, because he believed the same thing. Any right-thinking African understands that we have to be united. Africa must be united. I believe strongly and sincerely that with deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture united under one federal government, united under one federal government, will emerge not just as another world bloc to flaunt its wealth and strength, but has a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear, envy, and suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on hope, trust, friendship, and directed to the good of all mankind. Then he said this. If we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling amongst ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we had suffered heretofore. Kwame Nkrumah. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior in order to understand the effect that the European has had on our ability to even think victoriously. We must be able to separate our thoughts from Europeans' thoughts so as to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europeans. This is demanded by an African-centered view because why? We are Africans, and because the future which European leads us is genocide. We follow nothing that they want to do. I mean, not a damn thing. I mean, total independence. Total. We follow nothing about what Europeans want to do. Nothing. This is a day I had a few things I was going to talk about, but I'm just going to kind of ramble a little bit. Somebody says, "Oh, you always do." Okay. But I want to I'm going to think things that, of course, that are happening you see in the news, you know, the coronavirus, Afghanistan, climate. To me, those are three of the biggest things right now. Coronavirus. And of course, from the coronavirus standpoint, there was no doubt in my mind. I sure in the hell ain't going to get this shot. The only way I get this shot is I'm knocked out by something or someone and they shoot me. They jab me. I wouldn't dare get this shot constantly. I'm not saying this, you shouldn't either. I'm saying me. And the only reason why I'm not getting it because I don't like white folks. I don't trust them. I do not trust them. So I don't trust all the confusion coming out of the, all the things that have been happening, coming out of the CDC, the National Institutes of Health, the fact that Fauci and Bill Gates have been into population control. A piece I heard, I don't know, people have heard this particular piece. It's not very long. I don't know if this gentleman who's speaking in front of this group is an actual doctor or not. You know, so I'm not going to play that. I'm not going to play that because I don't know, you know. But he says he's a doctor and he's wrote books and that and that. And he says this virus, he says this vaccine developed the way it was developed will eventually kill him. It'll kill you within the next few years. Now, when you consider Fauci and particularly Bill Gates, who have been into population control. You know, a lot of these things are designed that way. In fact, I mentioned the Bill Gates talking to a group, like a TED Talk, and he's saying, we have developed vaccines to deal with population control. And I remember when I heard this some years ago and I was like, damn, vaccines are developed to help people live through diseases and to eradicate diseases. They're not for that. They're help people live. They're not for to kill people. But when you consider the issue of population as it relates to Caucasians who are experiencing and have been, even though this is the time that I think that they've admitted, of course, because the numbers, I guess, just cannot be denied that their population is shrinking. They're first time under 60% of this country's population and going down further. And the fact that they admitted, like they admitted way back it's a few decades, that by the year 2050, now that's, of course, is now 2030, 2035, which of course 2030 is only 9 years away. In fact, 8 years away since we're already coming into 2022. And of course, even if it's 2040, that's still only 18 years away. That they will be a numerical minority. Now, the problem for me and our people is that our people's number has not kept pace with our population for various reasons. You know, the second group of people now is, of course, is Hispanics. And it's Hispanics, Latinos, whatever word you want to use, who I look at as not as allies, you know, but people who would side. And, of course, that's great for Caucasians. It's just like when they had the G6 or 7, and they put Japan in there because Japan became economic power because of the electronics, you know, coming out of that devastation of the two bombs that they had dropped on their ass. They build. In fact, they copied, and, you know, I don't know, I'm almost 70, and I remember made in Japan was very inferior And so it's just like you go to the Dollar Tree, you know, and you see everything for a dollar. Well, that's how it was back in the day with things that were made in Japan. I ain't seen it with a dollar. It might have been because a dollar back in those days was a lot of money. But the point I'm making is that we bought those products. So we, in essence, helped facilitate Japan's rise to power. And then in the 80s, as Japan was making all these cars, Nissan, Toyota, motorcycles, Yamaha, and so forth. And then, of course, the electronics, Sony. Well, I was going to say Samsung, but Samsung is Korean. But all of those things, Toshiba, all of those things helped Japan become an economic power. So they included them in the G8 or G7, whatever the hell G was. You know, that I think there's only one African country that has ever been in that G, and I think that is South Africa. And that might have been before or after the end. They say the end of apartheid never left. Apartheid never left, brothers and sisters. Caucasians, Europeans, white people are still in control of South Africa. I maintain if you control the military and you control the money, you in control. I don't give a damn how many dark faces you have in high places. If you are in control of the military and you're in control of the finances, you in control. That's what's happening in Namibia. The Germans are still in control. Europeans are still in control in parts of Africa that they have colonized. The colonization of Africa is still in effect. No, they're not 54 sovereign nations. They're 54 co-optive nations. Neocolonialism, puppet governments, despots. That's why the unification of Africa is of utmost importance. And it ain't some shit, excuse me, it ain't something that is happening in the future. It must be happening now. It must be happening now. Yeah. I'm going to, when we come back from the break, I don't know, go somewhere with my day. Because I wanted to do something, but the website that I was going to take from was gone. I was like, damn, I'm trying to find it in various ways. It was gone. And I really liked that website, particularly because it dealt with a lot of issues affecting Africans in Africa. And of course, that's important to me. And I would love to, you know, give information to you about what's happening with Africa and Africans, because that's who we are. So I'm going to be doing that after the break, playing some more stuff for you. You know, those three issues, global climate change, global warming, you see this big hurricane. Well, it didn't reach hurricane status, but big storm that hit New England a couple of days, causing flooding and power outages, of course. You know, the climate around the world, particularly as it relates to this country, is really deep. Yeah, this climate change for real. You know, going back into another extreme heat for the next few days. I haven't looked at the whole of the country, but I know that here in the south, in the southeast, I'm here in Atlanta, they're expecting 95 days. They're expecting the 90s, upwards of 95, with a heat index of over 100 for the next few days. You know, the drought in the southwest that's prevailing, and the fires. You know, climate change is real. It's real. But I can understand why those greedy son of a bitches, you know, in the corporate world would want to deny climate change, because they're making money. I can understand the oil companies petroleum companies because they've been making money. You know, because that's what this country is about. And hell with light, it's about money. I know I may not live to see these changes that I've hoped that will come in a positive sense for humanity as a result of what is happening now. But I'm very fearful of that because the people who are making money, they may come up with, they may come together all that resource that they have and put a bubble over a great area, and everybody outside of that will suffer from all the climatic changes. But while they're in this bubble, this big bubble, which is climate controlled. And of course, there's defense forces to protect it. You know? While they continue to go up in space for whatever reason. You know, that's a damn shame. The mentality of the European, you know, of his search for new frontiers, his idea of the adventurer, the conqueror, you know, has messed this planet up. He never brought civilization anywhere. He brought destruction. He brought death. And because of how selfish and greedy he is, it may not be reversible. It may be a point that now, no matter what you do, you don't have no more fossil fuels. So, but you done messed the ecology up so bad that it's out of whack. But I believe, you know, as some write about, nature will always correct itself. Maybe. Maybe not. Because the other thing that is at the disposal of these fools is weaponry. Weaponry. And it's in my mind that they would do it. They would destroy the planet instead of sharing it. They would destroy it. If they can't be the top damn dog, they would destroy it. They don't want to share. That's why I'm saying it's important for us to lead the way. Get these Chinese who are trying to compete with the West. Ain't about no damn communism. That's bull. They're trying to compete with the West by having territory and resources. And of course, China has no resources. Just like Japan. They have to go outside. They have to rely on places around the world to get the resource. I mean, just like when I was in Ghana many years ago when Nana Akufo was still living and we were looking at night over in the horizon. We saw this lights on the horizon. It was a fishing vessel. It was Japanese. It was not Ghanaian. And it was fishing the waters. Because around Japan, they had fished out all of theirs to support the population. You know, because Tokyo in itself is one of the largest cities in the world. Millions of people. And so they wanted fish. And they cut a deal with the Ghanaian government. And everything was done on that ship. Hauling all the fish in, processing them, filleting them, gutting them, freezing them, packaging them, selling some of them back to the Ghanaian people, but basically sending them back to Japan. This is a messed up world. Especially for Africans, because Africans, the people who want to keep us divided, continuing to sow the seeds of discourse and division. And then Africans themselves with these bullshit ass titles and country names. And I don't want to be disrespectful for anybody's cultural group that may be in existence for literally hundreds and maybe thousands of years. But the bottom line is, it is not the fact that you are Hausa, Igbo, whatever you are, Ashanti, Zulu, you are African. Once you understand that and understand that you are attacked, you are undermined and manipulated because you are African and because others want your resources. And in this climate control, climate whack world, it's even more important. We're going to talk a little bit after the break on Afghanistan. Little. I understand that Afghanistan has a lot of resources. I'm quite sure the Taliban can't extract them because they don't have that kind of ability. I know the multinationals in India would be able to do that like they did in Iraq. You know, Dick Cheney, that asshole, in Halliburton. You know, I tell you, my trust, I have zero trust of this system, zero trust of Caucasians, not one bit. I trust them not one bit. But my feeling and my message to our people is that you do research for yourself. You make the conscious decision. If you feel that you need to get that jab. But doesn't it seem like that's the only thing they pushing? Striking the fear in you of the culture of the Delta virus. The Delta variant is so virulent. It is so contagious. It's so destructive. I haven't heard about a lot of people dying unless I'm missing it. Because, you know, early on in the pandemic, they said these many people got it. These many people died today. I haven't seen that. I haven't seen it on CNN. Yeah. But, you know, they're pushing that. They don't say a damn thing about nutrition. Vitamin D, going outside, exercising, the fact that maybe some people would die more readily because of their obesity. They don't say nothing about that. They don't say shit. Excuse me, y'all. They don't say nothing about health. About health and building up an immune system. Things that you can build your immune system on. They don't say nothing about it. Just get the vaccine. And truly, it would cause a lot of skepticism as far as I am concerned with what's happening now and saying that you done got your two shots, you're going to need a booster shot because of your poor health. Where, you know, most of the people around the world haven't had one shot. But this country, I'm not sure if it's the same thing and they're promoting in Europe or not. I don't know. Don't get a booster shot. But we'll see. Climate change, Afghanistan, the coronavirus. Those are the three main things that are pretty much dominate the news. And how African people, Africans in America, Africans wherever, should take this with an open mind, open heart, and vision. Because if there is an issue or a problem, a social ill, the history has always been it's more profound in us than anybody else. You know, it's that, so we got to deal with that. It's more profound in us than anybody else. So we're going to take a break. We come back from the break. We'll have more discussion. You can join this discussion by dialing 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Just a foolish dreamer, but I don't care, 'cause I know my happiness is waiting out there somewhere. I'm searching for that silver lining, horizons that I've never seen. The stars at night. I'd like to know the taste of honey in my life. In my life. Well, I've shed so many pains, and I've played so many games. Thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. The Commodore, Zoom. I like to fly, man, wouldn't you like to fly away from this madness? Other programming we have here on Typhoon Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And the times I'm going to give are Eastern times on Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m. Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming with Brother Jihad Ahmed. And that's followed by from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and the Taki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays from 8 p.m. to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9. On Fridays at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Then on Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then at 7, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And on Sundays at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard.
There is a lot of talk of late on the African continent about the fact that Africans are awaking. There is a lot of talk about the fact that we are woke. But the question that I'd like to ask you is, almost 100 years ago, a man called Marcus Garvey rose and told Africans that they must unite. Unite in their control of resources. Unite as nations. Unite their imaginations, their dreams, aspirations, and capabilities to grow in Africa. An and a race that will be able to self-determine and compete against other races. A man called Kwame Nkrumah came and said the same message. And another by the name of Malcolm X said the same. But the question is, after almost a century since the rise of Marcus Garvey, has Africa achieved unity? Do we control our resources? Do we unite in our aspirations, dreams? And have we elevated Africa into a continent and a race that can compete and self-determine against other races? The truth of the matter is we have failed. We have failed because we have remained divided. We've continued to work as 54 different states that continue to be subjugated. This is why the French continue to have 14 colonies on the African continent. It is why 36 African countries have got American bases and AFRICOM on their soil. It is why many African countries continue to sell their resources, their institutions, for debt to countries like China. And the question that I'm now challenging you, the woke generation, with is, what are we going to do about it? The reason we've got wars on the African continent is because we're being divided for conquest. The reason we've got sanctions on the African continent is that all the independent knowledge and education, the power to take control of our resources, can be destroyed so that Africa can continue to be colonized by our Western colonizers. This is why now we need to rise. Remember that you, the African American, with all your paper money, the greatest wealth among all black nations, only have paper money, but the true wealth is in Africa. The true wealth is the reason why Africa is under sanctions and war, the one that Europeans want to keep for themselves. You need to bring your paper money, your skill, your knowledge, your frustration back to Africa to invest it in the control of real wealth and real resources in the form of the oil, the diamonds, chrome, lithium, cassiterite, and all the other resources that the Western worlds are fighting to control in Africa. Your paper money can be leveraged into machines, skills, technology, and the knowledge that Africa needs in order to move and prosper. You, the Caribbean, with your skill, power, determination. You, the Jamaican, the first people to resist European colonialism. You, the Haitian, the very first black peoples to defeat a European army. You are the answer to Africa's problems. You, the European African, with all that you've learned and earned, the basketball player, the soccer player, the sportsman, the singer, the musician, the actor, with all your billions of dollars, are the investment that Africa needs to stop its dependency on the colonizer. It's about time that we rose. And I'm saying that Marcus Garvey's dream can be fulfilled, because when he dreamt it, not a single country, not a single African country was independent. When he dreamt it, not many black billionaires existed, if any. But today we've got black billionaires. Today the richest man in Africa is a black man. We have what it takes and the capacity that it takes to grow our continent into being a continent that can be respected, can self-determine, control its resources, control the processing of those resources, and create currencies based on those resources to be the leading economy in the world. With that, we can industrialize, grow up the technology curve, and begin to create the machinery, the tools to defend the sovereignty of this continent. And Now I say it's time that we unite. We have countries like Zimbabwe under U.S. war sanctions to make it unattractive for any African to come because Europeans are preserving it for themselves. But I'm inviting you, my African-American brother, you Africans in the diaspora, you Africans on the continent to say, come and take advantage of the greatest reserves of lithium, chrome, gold, true wealth, land, an opportunity to develop infrastructure for us to create wealth as a people, for yourselves, for the advancement of Africa. The time to awake is now, but awakening takes action, pride, investment, development, innovation to give our people power. This is the time.
The time is now. It's been time. It's well overdue. I believe you know what I'm talking about. So let's make this time our time, Africa's time, to come into existence, what we need to make happen. Going to talk about, heard a piece on Afghanistan, and of course you know, you've seen the news, you've seen the pullout, you know, Bush, old man Bush got into this situation. Not old man Bush, young man Bush. Got us into this situation after the, you know, 9/11. Of course, 9/11 is coming up. And of course, we're going to expose it for truly what it is, an inside job. This was not something that happened outside of America. America did this to itself, point blank. We'll pull out the evidence, the rational thinking evidence, on the anniversary, on that Friday the 10th, and every day leading up to that on September 10th, because September 11th is a Saturday. We will talk about how this happened, because what we want to deal with is that this country, which has done these kinds of things before and will continue to do them, is, and I'm meaning this is for us, African people. If the Caucasians and everybody else who comes here, the Mexicans, Latinos, whoever, whatever, but we must have an exodus. The exodus in the Bible never happened. It never happened. It is not true. There's no evidence, no physical evidence like they want you to believe, because they want you to believe that the Bible is a history book. It is not. It is not. It didn't happen. But exodus must happen for us as African people. Exodus out of the diaspora into the homeland. Now, if you don't want to go, that's cool. But don't try to be an agent provocateur. Don't try to sabotage. Be somebody who's real and support what we are doing as African people, to make ourselves players in the world instead of the pawns that we've been made to be. The Afghanistan situation was created out of that false flag, that inside job that 9/11 was. And then, of course, saying that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. Of course, they did not. They had many people coming before Congress and coming before the world stating these lies. They vamped on Iraq. Then they vamped on Afghanistan. They've been in Afghanistan for 20-something years, to the tune of billions of dollars. No, trillions. They could have given every Afghani some serious money. They could have done that. And those Afghanis would have been rich. So, I'm going to check this particular piece out and we'll have some discussion. Yeah.
Is if you stop bombing them. About a week and a half.
Welcome back. One of the questions hanging over U.S. President Joe Biden's so-called withdrawal from Afghanistan is why a politician notorious for supporting U.S. imperialism from Latin America to the Middle East is suddenly so keen on pulling troops out of a war he supported in 2001. Well, Jimmy Dore, comedian and host of The Jimmy Dore Show, believes that Biden's sudden anti-war stance is actually just a way to pivot to other theaters of conflict. He joins me now via Skype from Los Angeles in the United States. Jimmy, thanks so much for coming back for our season finale. I'll get to the imperialism in a second, but you know that everyone on every so-called mainstream channel over there, over here, even Boris Johnson's people here in London, Stephen Colbert, comedian, all these people are saying women's rights, women's rights. And you think that actually misogynist sanctions from US and UK on Venezuela, Syria, Iran, it gives the lie to all this caring for women's rights when it comes to the withdrawal from Afghanistan?
You know what helps women's rights more than anything is if you stop bombing them. About a week and a half ago, the United States bombed a school, a high school, and a health clinic, killed 20 women and children. So that would be the thing that would hurt women the most is when you bomb them and you invade their countries and you slaughter thousands of them for the military-industrial complex profits and to steal their natural resources. Joe Biden, you know, everybody's giving it, they are giving him a hard time. Of course, in the United States, the press, which is funded by the military-industrial complex and Wall Street, wants more war all the time. So they're allowed to criticize a president for ending a war, but they don't criticize presidents for starting a war. That would be unpatriotic, and that would go against what their advertisers want. And so as Joe Biden is catching grief from the American press and politicians for ending this pointless, murderous war that we all knew was always going to end like this, they are ramping up the military budget here. As they're ending the war, they're spending an extra $25 billion. So all the money they were spending, $300 million a day for 20 years we spent in Afghanistan, the United States did, $300 million a day. Well, they're not going to stop spending $300 million a day. I don't know what they need all that money for. Oh, maybe it's so Joe Biden can now go bomb in Somalia, which he is bombing Somalia, which 40% of the country are nomads. There he's bombing the poorest people on the planet continuously. And now he's taking those soldiers from Afghanistan and occupying a third of Syria, their wheat fields and their oil fields. So the imperialism is not stopping. In fact, they're actually ramping it up and they're spending more money on the war machine. It's an economy of death that the United States is perpetrating across the entire world. And so that's what's happening in women's rights. Again, the Afghanistan had a socialist government that was committed to women's rights and education and the welfare of its workers. The United States helped overthrow that government by propping up the Taliban because we wanted to get a win on Russia. And we didn't want Russia to have a presence in Central Asia. And so that's what happened to a government that actually would respect women. They had one in Afghanistan. The United States came in and got rid of them. And by the way, this idea that the Taliban are these bad guys that the United States doesn't want to work with. We worked with the Taliban. We invented the Taliban. I have a videotape on my show of Hillary Clinton admitting we invented the Taliban. And so That's where we are. We invent a problem. The country, they just like Iran. Iran had a democratically elected government in 1953. The CIA in the United States overthrew that government. They installed the Shah, and now we have the Ayatollah and that government, that theocracy in Iran. So all these problems are created by the United States and their imperialism, and don't think it's stopping.
You know, a bit unfair to MI6. British intelligence also involved in all of that. But you do favor intervention by the USA. Shock, horror. I heard you on your show the other day. You're saying you want a U.S. intervention, a military intervention. Tell me about which country you want the U.S. intervening in.
I think it's about, I mean, because a lot of people are saying we need to stay in Afghanistan to help the women. I say, how about if the United States takes about 3,000 or 4,000 troops and invades Los Angeles and brings health care and medical aid and shelter to the 60,000 homeless people in Los Angeles? How about we invade the inner cities of America and we bring health care to those people? We bring shelter to those people. We bring medicine to those people. We bring counseling to those people. How about we invade America and we start trying to help America? When is America going to care about the women? And, you know, 1 out of 5 kids in America lives in poverty. America won't give maternity leave to women so they can't take care of their family when they go out to work a job that doesn't pay for rent. You know, 40% of the homeless people in the United States have jobs. They don't pay enough for them to have a home or an apartment. So if you want to help people, why don't you give women and children, why don't you give women a living wage in the United States, give them health care and give them an education? Ironically, that's what the government of Afghanistan did up until we invented the Taliban.
Yeah, there's similar controversy here about cuts in universal credits given during coronavirus over the past few months and its impact on young girls and poverty. I mean, do you believe that Biden was lying when he spoke in his speech about it was an intelligence failure? $86 billion, I think, is it last count, the intelligence. Was President Biden lying?
Yes, he was lying, as the Afghan papers revealed that the intelligence community and the military, the top brass, the people running the war in Afghanistan, have known that this is a failure from day one. They knew that they don't have a direct quote from the Afghan papers is, "We don't have the foggiest idea of what we were doing in Afghanistan." They all predicted that the Taliban would immediately run over the government as soon as we pulled out. And that's exactly what happened. Joe Biden said that that wasn't true. That wasn't the intelligence community assessment, and that was the intelligence community's assessment, and everybody knows that. It's been revealed. It was revealed in the Washington Post. These aren't secrets. But again, the biggest disseminator of misinformation, especially about war, is the United States government and State Department, and then the second one is the establishment corporate media in the United States. Yes, he was lying, saying that a reporter asked him, "Hey, your own intelligence community is saying the Taliban's going to overrun the government in Afghanistan." And so he said they didn't come to that conclusion. Well, of course they did. We know that. We have the papers. So, yes, Joe Biden is a pathological liar. He was a pathological liar before he ran for president. He had to drop out the first time he ran for being caught being a pathological liar. So, yes, he's been lying about this. And, of course, they'll never lose their Facebook or their Twitter accounts. I mean, meaning the Joe Biden, meaning the Defense Department, they have a Twitter account, they have a Facebook page, but they'll never ever lose those for using misinformation or spewing misinformation, which they're doing on the regular.
Well, they all will be denying it. What goes through their minds then in D.C., the foreign policy think tanks, the politicians, the news anchors, the news presenters, the journalists, the op-ed writers, the entire elite class of the Fourth Estate? Do they not know that loads of girls and women are going to go hungry tonight without federal aid?
Yes, well, of course they do, and they don't care. So this idea that the United States uses its military to care for women, it's funny on its face. Oh, did they invent pro-women bombs? I think they did. If you took – so there's 600,000, according to statistics, there's 600,000 homeless people in America. A lot of those are women. A lot of those are children. Now, if you gave them each $1,000 stipend a month, $1,000 a month to go get housing – that would cost $7.2 billion a year. $7.2 billion. You know, we've been spending $2 trillion over the last 20 years, $300 million a day to bomb and kill people in Afghanistan. So the United States, if it really cared about women, they could spend a pittance, $7.2 billion, to take care of the homeless people in the United States, give them $1,000. They won't do it. So, yes, Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Mitch McConnell, all the leaders on both parties, they know that that 1 out of 5 children lives in poverty in the United States, along with their mothers, and they don't care. That's why Joe Biden, he brags that this new bill is going to cut child poverty in half, which it's not. because he won't give us a $15 minimum wage. He won't give people a living wage in the United States. He refuses to. He ran on it. It's super popular. The American people want a living wage, a $15 minimum wage, and he refuses to do it because Joe Biden is bought and paid for by Wall Street. And so, no, he doesn't care about women. He doesn't care about children. He's the biggest warmonger, and he's the biggest war criminal, too. So you remember when the United States, when Donald Trump was threatening to pull the soldiers out of Afghanistan 2 years ago, the Democrats and Republicans in Congress came together and passed a law, an amendment called the Crow Cheney Amendment, that prohibited Donald Trump from removing the troops from Afghanistan. So these people don't care about women and children. They will never allocate money to help those homeless people. They won't ever try to get the one out of five children living in poverty any help. They're not cutting poverty in half. That's another lie, child poverty in half. That's not happening. And I say, if you're going to brag that you're going to cut child poverty in half in the richest country on the face of the earth, why wouldn't you just cut child poverty in whole? Why are you doing it in fractions? Why wouldn't you? What does it take to get rid of it altogether?
Because the enemy is, as you mentioned earlier, Russia was why poor the United States had to sadly sponsor the brutal Islamist Taliban. Then Russia was the enemy because it got Trump elected. And actually, Russia was involved in Cuba. Why is Biden so obsessed with punishing the women and girls and men and boys of Cuba?
You know, the only thing I can think of is that they want regime change. They want regime change everywhere, and it's bipartisan. I mean, what's weird is that Barack Obama actually was had started to turn around on Cuba, and now Joe Biden is even worse than Trump was with Cuba. So Joe Biden's a bigger imperialist, I guess, you know. And so I look for him to try to go back into Venezuela to do some more stuff in Central and South America. I mean, that's just what the United States does. And what they're doing to the people of Cuba is just brutal. It's the same thing they're doing to the people of Syria, the same thing they're doing to the people of Iran. They're using sanctions to punish the people. I mean, now you can't even get cancer. If you have cancer in Syria, good luck getting the medicine you need. And the same thing all around the world, Venezuela, Cuba, Iran, they're punishing people with sanctions, which are an act of war. They talk about sanctions in the United States like it's a kitchen remodel. You know, sanctions are murderous and horrible.
So you seem to be saying that women's rights are being weaponized in this way. I don't know where Kamala Harris has gone. I mean, just finally, the big global story, historic story, obviously climate change. An IPCC lead author on this program said they don't count emissions from military equipment. Just as they don't care about the women's rights, really, according to you, do you think it passes through the Pentagon's mind or the British military's mind about climate change when they launch all these wars and do all these things in all these countries?
Well, I'm pretty sure that the United States military is the biggest purveyor of greenhouse gases, right? Don't they? I think they contribute the most to global warming than I think even... So I'm pretty sure that would be the...
Apparently, they don't release the official figures, and a lot of special forces you guys have. No one really knows.
Well, I remember Elizabeth Warren, when she ran for president, she wanted to make the murder machine called the United States military more environmentally friendly. Again, I don't know. I guess the bombs explode and seeds for trees fly out. I don't know what happens, but they don't really care about climate. They don't really care about women's rights. The only thing they care about is corporate profits. And that's why the United States is in the situation it is, where we have one in five kids living in poverty in the richest country in the world. 80% of workers live paycheck to paycheck. Half the country can't afford a $400 emergency. This is in the richest country in the world. This is what happens when your government gets captured 100% by corporations, the military-industrial complex, Wall Street, Big Pharma, and oil companies. They control our government, and that's why we can't even get a living wage in the United States, and that's why the United States looks way more like Brazil today than it should.
And Kamala Harris, where's she going?
Well, in April of this year, she was claiming credit for it. I just saw there was a headline in Politico, I think I featured on my show, Kamala Harris wants credit. She was the last person in the room with Joe Biden when he decided to make the decision to pull out of Afghanistan. And in April, she wanted credit for that. And yesterday, there is reporting that she said, I don't want to have this pinned on me. So now she's quickly shifted because, again, the establishment media and the establishment in the United States, it has the herd mentality, right? So in April, it was a great idea to get out of Afghanistan, and now it's a horrible idea, and nobody has their own, except for a guy like probably Ron Paul. He's been consistent.
Jimmy Dore, thanks so much for coming on this season finale. That's it for this show and this season of Going Underground. We'll be back on Wednesday.
And that's the fact, Jack. Yeah. I tell you, this country is going to hell. And we are like people on the Titanic, just trying to rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic. We want to go, damn it, down with it. Instead of doing what we must do, divorce ourselves from these, and then go home and build for ourselves. You know. Thank you. That's what we must do. Build for ourselves. Go home. If we do not understand that as African people, there's only one solution. And I know people talk about solutions. We must build a solution. There's only one solution. It is a solution that we really don't want to deal with. We want to reform. We want to correct. We want to hope and pray that we can instill some moral thinking into these people who run this society. It'll never happen. The only solution is Pan-Africanism. The only solution is unity. We have a caller. Good afternoon, caller. That's you, Brother Paul.
Hello. Yeah, hi.
Oh, hey, well, sister.
Yeah, hey. I'm enjoying your show. I mean, your program, as usual. This is Sister Haiba. How you doing?
I'm doing, Sister Haiba. I'm well. How about you? How are you doing?
I'm okay. Yeah, I thought that was interesting. The speaker that was on, whoever was making the commentary about Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And I disagree with. I agree with all the imperialistic plots that he was exposing. In Afghanistan.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm like you had mentioned earlier, I'm getting tired of hearing so much about Afghanistan, Afghanistan. And, you know, they're speaking of, let's help save them, let's airlift them, spend all these millions. You know, I'm saying, what about Haiti? We're not hearing about Haiti, and I think that's something we need to be addressing, too. I mean, because they're not trying, you know, we need, I mean, they're in a very dire situation.
Well,
you know,
let's be real.
Thousands of people are dying.
Right. Well, let's be real, sister. You know that you're not going to hear about Haiti if Afghanistan is the issue, because Afghanistan, a lot of Europeans, Americans have died in Afghanistan. A lot of money has been spent in Afghanistan. So Afghanistan is a serious issue. That's going to be talked about. That's top billing, you know.
Well,
yeah.
I think we top billing, too. But I hear what you're saying. I know it's because of that situation. Yeah. But I'm saying, you know, we have people here that, you know, the money is not being addressed to them. So I guess they come over and they'll be getting whatever money they get. But I think, I mean, maybe they're not really need to address Haiti, though. I mean, you hear little bits about it. And what can we do as a people? Because, like, people have stolen their when they had their last earthquake, Hillary Clinton and Clinton, they stealing all the money. The people don't get the help they need. So I really, you know, we need to be addressing how can we make sure we give them the help that they need, you know, the support that they need, the food, the monies, and what have you. You know, that's really important to make sure it goes to the right hand.
Well,
and, you know, they're saying they want to airlift all these people from Afghanistan. I know when they had the issue with the Bahamas, when they had the earthquake, nobody was be allowed to be airlifted. I don't think they airlifted people. It was a request to do it. They didn't try to help save them. Some of the people from Haiti, they would not let them in. So I find that to be, you know, just...
Well,
you know,
I find it to be as American as apple pie. I find it to be, par for the course is how they do things. You know, once again, the situation in Afghanistan is because it was America helping to create that situation.
Yeah, they did the whole thing. They went in and just imperialistic to that place, trying to steal their resources.
And so now, now that the Taliban, which was also created by the United States, wants to seize power and, of course, kill all those collaborators, all those who were interpreters, all those who were supporting of the United States and doing what they're doing, they want to kill them. They want to probably publicly kill them, behead them in a firing squad, you name it. They want to do that and to basically get rid of all those people and then build their Islamic Khalifa, I guess. I don't know. I don't care. Honestly.
Right.
That's what they want to do. I don't know and I don't care.
And then the thing about a lot of the people did not want the U.S. The U.S. just came in as a, you know, invading force there. I understand a lot of the Afghanistan people, that's why they, you know, as soon as the United States took out their forces, how they, you know, they just went along with the other groups. And I hear that they present a lot of it as if the people really wanted the United States and how they was helping them. But a lot of the people, you know, from my understanding, they didn't want United States coming over there invading them like that.
Well, no, they didn't. They didn't. But what the United States did bring was ability for, particularly in these Islamic countries that are so hardcore Islamic and dictatorial, that particularly for women. So the United States allowed women to drive cars, to be educated, to own property, to bet businesses and so forth. And of course, they knew that once the Taliban took over, that was going to end. So there's this deep, sincere fear of reprisal by the Taliban against women and other occupations and so forth. And so, you know, It's a mess.
Yeah, I don't believe United Nations have benevolence like that. Like they're so concerned, just like what they were saying on the person who was speaking like earlier. I mean, I don't feel they just have some benevolence that they want to help the women and children. They're about there with wanting to get the money, and then some people may not want the United States way of living. You know, there's right. women that may not. The United States comes in trying to impose what they say needs to be going on, too.
Right. That's true.
Another side of it, too.
Right. And so that those harsh realities being what they are, you know, the United States is going to be tied to some degree for some years with this situation and continue to pay money and possibly, you know, and if, I mean, they're even though Afghanistan looks like hell, you know, you can't see it, but supposedly there is some resources, mineral resources in Afghanistan.
Right. That's why they're over there.
Yeah. And so I believe that there's going to be some kind of deal between the Taliban and U.S. corporations or European corporations to extract some of those resources out of there.
Absolutely. That's part of the diabolical plot of imperialism. So. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I thought that was good. But I do think we need to spend some time about Haiti, helping our sisters and brothers there. Maybe we could, you know, have that. We're the right place to send our support.
I agree.
For them.
I agree with you.
I mean, they got thousands of people that's being killed in Haiti that have been killed in Haiti, and they you know they're in a it's a devastation.
And so. You know, what you have seen in Haiti since the earthquake that happened in 2010, and I remember going to National Black United Front Conference where a sister who was in that situation. She, unfortunately, she passed some years ago, but she didn't pass because of it. I don't know. But she was there. She had a business. She had a telecommunications business. And her business suffered. It was was damaged severely in the earthquake. And so she was telling all the things that were happening. And, of course, the National Black United Front, along with some other organizations, put together a relief program. So if you donated to that, you know that was going directly to benefit our people in Haiti. The other ones, I don't know. That's dubious because there's been so much corruption and so much, you know, graft that it's ridiculous. And even in 10 years, the lack of progress that was made, the housing that should have been built, you know,
well, the infrastructure. United States was in there invading. I mean, because I went to Haiti after, you know, after the earthquake, and just the police presence, you know, it was just a military state, and they were thwarting a lot of what, you know, well, a lot of the resources didn't get to them, and the United States was acting as a bear to thwart, and plus they were so busy stealing things. And so that's the issue about building back and trying to help them and support them.
I was listening to one of the sisters. Maybe I need to talk to Mama Bayina Bello, and I know she is still here.
Oh, yeah, she's good.
Yeah, because there was a resource that I heard mentioned. There's a resource in Haiti that, you know, is like vibranium in Wakanda, you know? I'm serious.
Wow.
I'm serious. Mm. And I need to research that. I was told that. I thought I'd seen it or heard it some years ago, that there's a resource that is just germane only to Haiti. And that is, so let me do some research on that.
Yeah, that would explain why the United States would want to keep being in there, you know, invading and things, you know, trying to take over and exploit everything, extort everything. So.
Well, because, you know, the bottom line is Europeans have taken upon themselves, when they came out of that dark age, that medieval age, land poor, resource poor, and people poor, to venture out. The age of enlightenment, as the Europeans called it.
Yeah,
the age
of
reasoning. Son of a bitch. And they went around the world taking everybody's stuff in the name of. And then the idea is that we may war, they took an idea and a concept that we may war amongst ourselves, and they have. The Europeans are very warlike. They're the most warring people on the planet. In fact, I've always said they've always found a better way to kill your ass. And in today's world, they have multiple ways to kill you, as we are witnessing. But they said we may war amongst ourselves, but whoever's going to run the world is going to be us. We're going to come together on that. We're going to come together on those who are outside of us, even though our population is small and it's getting smaller. Some people think that's an issue. I don't consider it an issue because they've never been a majority. They weren't the majority in South Africa. They weren't the majority in Liberty, a lot of places, but yes, they still control and they still run it. You know, here, because when they took this place and started to displace people and kill people and remove people, and then, of course, at the turn of the last, of the 1900s, early 1900s, the influx of immigrants, of Europeans, constant influx of Europeans, of Italians and Irish and so forth, of course, made the population huge for Caucasians. And of course, everybody adapted to the idea of being white. Because even at the beginning, Irish weren't considered white. Italians definitely weren't considered white. But they're all under the banner of white. And of course, whiteness was created by the Europeans. And of course, us and our foolishness, instead of saying, bump y'all, we Africans, we out of here. We was like, no, we black. You know, we're black. And basically, in essence, is just the opposite of being white, because those who want to be black, unfortunately, many of them want to be African, but they don't want to be white, but they want what whites have. They want to be black. They want the cars. They want the jobs. They want the promotions. They want to live here. They want to go to these schools. They want to be just like whites. You know, it's a sickness.
You know,
sickness.
I heard you mention earlier that our population, the Africans here in America was
declining,
was not growing. Right. But I don't believe their statistics. They're saying we're only 12%. I don't believe that.
I know that's kind of hard to believe.
Even do do that when they were counting.
Listen.
Our numbers were supposed to be.
I didn't
turn mine in. I know a lot of people didn't turn it in because
the census,
the United States said it's important to do, then I'm disagreeing with they're saying that.
Well,
so I think it's a lot more than I don't believe that we only 12%.
Well,
I think that's just a.
Well, if only 12% of us were counted based upon the census or whatever, and I know at one time I thought we had a high of a 17%, maybe even.
I believe we up to 25% and 30%. I believe they just want to undercount us.
Well, let me just say this, and even though that's a possible a definite situation, but the reality is that we are affected profoundly by a number of factors. You know, one, abortions, two, mm-hmm. homosexuality,
mm-hmm.
three, marrying Caucasian, marrying the enemy, as I stated earlier. In today's program, marrying the enemy coming out of the NSA. Four, a drug abuse or some kind of abuse, alcoholism, drug abuse. Fifth, mass incarceration.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one, they just plain ain't shit. So those factors as a contributor to our decline. And the availability for sisters to have decent men to mate with. The situation for mating for sisters is real and it's critical. There's not a man for every woman. There is a woman for every man. There is not a man for every woman, particularly in this country. Especially if there was at a period of time of youth, of adolescence or even toddler, I don't know. But I know that as they get older, the decline for men, for sisters, for availability of relationships and marriage and so forth diminishes.
Right.
And that's
a lot of women, unfortunately, are turning to white men to marry too.
Yeah.
Like you said, that
white
was part
men
of
are. White men or Asian men or whatever. Yes.
Yeah.
Because they can't find. And then here in Atlanta, which is,
family.
Yeah. And here in Atlanta, because a lot of sisters have moved here. They went to school. They went to Spelman. They went to all these places. They had good jobs. They have nice cars. But they don't have a compliment. They don't have a man of comparable. And I ain't saying that he has to have a high-paying end job or this and that. But at least he is a man who feels good about himself, and even though she may make more money, and hopefully they understand that doesn't mean a damn thing, but
right.
that they're in this together. They're a couple. They're a compliment. They work together, to raise a family, to have children, and make them strong, African-conscious people. It's not happening. This doesn't happen here. I ain't just talking about Atlanta. I'm talking about this country, and literally looks like the damn world. So, African people, we're at a serious crossroads. We're at a serious crossroads when you look at the continent, when you look at the Africans in the diaspora, we're at a serious crossroads. And unfortunately, we don't have the leadership speaking with that one voice. That's why I'm adamant about the Pan-African Federalist Movement to becoming
right.
a real movement for our people and saying to us, whatever organization, because there's a whole bunch of organizations, damn it, that need to say, let's all jump in on this. Let's all put any and all petty differences aside. Let us all work towards the liberation and the self-determination and the sovereignty of African people, and particularly on the continent, so we can have that land as ours. We control it as ours. Because every day that goes by, others are conquering it. Others are taking it. Others who have been there for centuries are solidifying their position. While we bicker and argue and talk about this, that, or the other, that don't mean a damn thing. You know, so
yeah, well, yeah. Spreading the word.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right, my sister. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, and one other quick thing I wanted to mention. You had spoke about the vaccines.
Yes.
So, I mean, is this being exposed as a diabolical plot here now?
Has it been exposed? I don't know. I mean,
surging for having COVID-19, while most people are more and more people are getting the vaccine, and so then they're telling you use this as an excuse to they're pressuring and trying to coerce people and to take the vaccine mm-hmm. when the situation with COVID is getting worse since they've been popping that.
Well,
you know.
Of course, they blame the people who are non-vaccinated, and some blame us as American Africans for whatever reason, and everybody else. So the bottom line is, you know, because there are people who have been vaccinated who are giving.
You're vaccinated, and they're giving other people
right,
COVID virus.
Right.
See, and they're getting sick and dying too, right. These people. So you're taking this vaccine. So you're trying to tell me take this vaccine, and it's not, and people are still getting the virus
right.
when they take it.
Right. So, I mean,
you know, and
you know,
I mean, you know, so that would not compute. That would not.
Well, the thing is this. The thing is this, dear sister, Sister Ibea, is that we do all that we can to make ourselves healthy as possible. Boosting our immune system.
Vitamin D, the rest,
yes.
The social distance, building up our immune system.
Yes.
All these things are important because it's not monetary for the United States system. You know, there's no monetary benefit from that. They'd be making more money with the vaccines instead of promoting these other things that work. You know, they even have another treatment, the monoclonal antibodies that decrease it. That can treat it if you do it early, but that's not pushed because there's no monetary, the monetary benefit. It's just, they just say,
well,
just keep getting the vaccine.
There you go, because always there's a saying that I'll be talking about, particularly for the next few weeks, you know, follow the money.
It's
about money. And it's the same thing that happened in 9/11. It was all about money. When you follow the money, when you follow the fact that the World Trade Center and building number 7, which was a few blocks away, that also went down later that day, which to me is a prime example of an inside job. But what probably is the deepest example of the inside job is not what happened in that field in Pennsylvania, in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. But what happened at the Pentagon? I challenge anybody to bring me or anybody else a photo, a picture, a newsreel, anything of an airplane hitting the Pentagon.
They took
all of the cameras. You got to understand, this was only 2001. So you know there's cameras all around the Pentagon. A lot of other federal buildings all around there. But the only thing you see is a bright light hitting the Pentagon. That's the only thing you see. But you would think that a plane, and that's why I'm saying that you can never make me believe, you never make me believe that a plane was flying so fast and so low in the Washington, D.C. area, that when the nose of the plane hit the Pentagon, it disintegrated. The nose made it disintegrate. That's why you don't see no wing. You don't see no tail. You don't see no...
It's a diabolical plot.
Well, and it thickens. So, all right, my sister. I appreciate
you. All right,
you.
My brother. I appreciate your program.
Right.
And thank you for all your enlightenment that you're doing.
All right.
All right. Ashe.
Ashe. Peace to
peace
you.
Well, for you.
All right. Brothers and sisters, I thank you for listening, and I hope that you will continue to do so. We end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the MIND, but the MINE, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they shown hell done it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bifahodie. Bifahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious.
Okay.
Peace, family.